proclaim liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus 25:10. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Jesus Christ says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3, King James Version.
We'd like to welcome you to the Water from the Well broadcast, one of the ministries of the Well of Living Water Christian Fellowship, Wakefield, New Hampshire. Visit us on the World Wide Web, thewelloflivingwater.com, or call us at 603-522-9115. Are you ready to be challenged? Here is another powerful teaching from the Patriot Pastor, Garrett Lear.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonder and wonders of his love.
Well, it's certainly my distinct pleasure to be able to bring you this radio broadcast in this Advent season, and at the, shall we say, Christmas Eve, and I am not afraid to say Merry Christmas. Now, before some of our patriot friends and Christian friends, and I'd like to think that those two terms, that patriot and Christian, can be combined together. They certainly have been in me as the Patriot Pastor and the Heroes of Liberty. Before some of you want to get in contact with me and say, well, you know, should we celebrate Christmas? I'm not celebrating Christmas per se. What I am celebrating, and I try to do this more than just one day a year, certainly, is the birth of Christ. And of course, you probably know historically that in the Plymouth Colony, in the early days of the Mass Bay Colony, it was actually illegal to celebrate Christmas. Not because it was, I think, considered illegal or wrong to celebrate the birth of Christ, but because it had become so much of a party time, rather, and very much pagan, and because of the fact that the pilgrims and Puritans coming from England and coming from Leyden, Holland, had seen such a debauchery of what the meaning of celebrating the Advent season would be. And by the way, we don't know for sure with the different calendars that have historically been in place what day exactly Jesus was born. But does it really make a difference what day he was born? We know that he was born. And we know where he was born, and we know for what purpose that he was born. and in what manner that he was born. Those are the things we need to focus on, I would suggest. And that's why I still am willing to say Merry Christmas and to have a time of celebration, but I look at it more not as a time for spending money and going out to stores and so forth and so on. Not that's necessarily wrong to give gifts. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But more the situation of what the meaning of Jesus' birth is. And I don't want to ever see that obliterated from America or from the world. And of course, we know that there is that group of people across this country, the revisionist historians, the atheists, the agnostics, the different types of religions and so forth that don't want any mention of the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I refuse to succumb to that. And I'm not going to take too much time in the broadcast to discuss those things because I want to get to reading a passage of Scripture in the second chapter of the book of Luke that I hope that if you haven't read it with your family yet in this Advent season, that you would take time tonight, tomorrow, and in the days to come to read it, because there's a lot of factual information. I'm reading from the King James Translation, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, in Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made which Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now I'm going to stop there. I'm going to let you read the rest of that chapter yourself, but I want to point some things out here. When we're considering whether we should allow ourselves as Christians to be co-opted, think about, for example, our sixth president. That's John Quincy Adams, by the way. He said, Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day, the 4th of July? Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior, that it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth, that it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity? He said that in 1837 at the age of 69, and when he delivered his 4th of July speech at Newburyport, Massachusetts. And he also titled it in a letter, The Law Given from Sinai, the Ten Commandments, was a civil and municipal, as well as a moral and religious code. That in letters to his son. Now, my reason for reading that to you is to show you that actually, for us here in America, not to celebrate the birth of Christ, and the issue whether December 25th is the birth of Christ or the birthday, and anyone that knows me knows that I try to be as absolutely accurate and factual as possible. But we don't want to strain the gnat and swallow the camel here. You see, we have people out there that think it is not American, that it's not constitutional, that we should have a manger scene. Now, I was born and spent most of my growing up years in Lexington, Massachusetts, and the seacoast of New Hampshire. All the towns would have a Christmas tree lighting. Now, you may think it's a pagan situation to light a Christmas tree, and maybe and there's some biblical injunctions both ways. Just remember that Jesus was crucified on a tree. Well, in lighting a tree called a Christmas tree and having a manger scene, or they call it a creche, it was on the village greens of pretty much all the colonial towns, and certainly all the New England towns that when I was growing up. Nobody said, gee, that's wrong to sing Christmas carols. We sang them in school. We gave Christmas gifts in school. We had a Christmas party in school. Nobody thought that that was wrong, and it wasn't because every single person, even in my growing up years, and I was born in 1948, so growing up in the 50s, not that every single person was a Christian, but people understood that America was a Christian nation and had the foundation on Christ, and if they were going to be here, they certainly couldn't tell us that in our own country that we couldn't celebrate the birth of Christ and the Advent season. Now, I look at the Advent season as beginning right after Thanksgiving. What a beautiful time to start it, that in true Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving to me is not Macy's Parade. Thanksgiving to me is not football games and beer parties and things of that nature. I mean, I got to tell you straight, it's of no concern to me. What is of concern is giving thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the things he's provided, and how that leads up to the most important event ever in the history of the world. And I'm going to include that and say that event, starting with the Annunciation, when it was announced to Mary by the angel of the Lord that Jesus was going to be born, just the way that it was prophesied, as we read, for example, in Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 53 and different other passages in the Old Testament. that the event of Jesus' birth, his life, his death by crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his soon and imminent return. Yes, I said imminent, meaning we don't know exactly when, but yes, he said he would come back, and he will. And when he comes back, he doesn't come back to be crucified. He comes leading his army of saints, and he is the commander-in-chief, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just as we read in the 33rd chapter, for example, of Isaiah, and also in Revelation chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 17. So if we allow people to stop us from taking this time to remember the birth of Christ and what it means. And let's look at a few things in Scripture here of what it really does mean and what it's meant to me. In verse 10, the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring good tidings of what? Great joy, which shall be to all people." Not just Americans, but people all over the world. And this is an important issue too, because in Matthew 28:19 it says, "Go forth and preach the gospel to all nations, disciple all nations." Then in verse 11 it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now we don't know exactly calendar-wise what that date is. Maybe it was arbitrarily set as December 25th, and you know there are certain Eastern Orthodox church groups, for example, that look at the Advent as coming in January and so forth and so on, because there have been different calendars in the world. The point is, the Bible does say here, born this day in the city of David, and of course we know that's Bethlehem, and that was prophesied before the birth of Christ too, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now here is the point that is so important that's being co-opted today. Muhammad is not the Savior of the world. I mean no disrespect to anybody in saying that. It is not Buddha. It's not Confucius. I almost said Confucius, because some people are confused. But Jesus Christ. And of course, the signs that were given in advance, and those signs at that time. And what were the angels doing? A multitude of the heavenly host, when you say a multitude, you mean a lot, were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, I don't know about you today, with all the wars that are being fought across the world, and historically what we know about mankind, and the greed, and the jealousy, and national conflicts, and so forth and so on, whenever I read this, instead of being cynical, isn't that an interesting word? Instead of being cynical about it, I say, I do believe about peace on earth. I believe in goodwill toward men. I believe that I should show goodwill towards men. I should do what I can to bring about peace. And of course, remember that the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus delivered to the people, to the multitude, he said, "Be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers." But I also recognize that the conflicts that we're facing in life across the world are much too difficult for any one man to solve, for any group of men to solve, or for any group of nations to solve. I guess the UN just isn't much of a good use of time and resources, is it? Because Jesus himself is the Prince of Peace. He is God Emmanuel. He is God with us. Those are important things to remember. And so, if you don't like the fact that the Advent season has become commercialized, and I don't like it, well, I make a statement against it. You won't see me out at late hours trying to buy things that I can't afford to give gifts to people. There are other gifts that are much more important than are meaningful, and I always think about it, well, really, you know, if we're celebrating a birthday, and we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. We don't know exactly what day that is. We're celebrating his birth rather than a particular day, December 25th. Well, why don't we give the gifts to Jesus instead of to ourselves and so many other people? And would we stop and take the time to ask this question? What gifts would Jesus like to have from us? I can tell you that I ask that repeatedly, not just once a year, but throughout the year. I want to draw your attention to some of the other passages of Scripture there in Luke chapter 2. For example, verse 21. His name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now think about that. We know that Jesus is God with us, God Emmanuel, that God came to earth and chose to come in the most dangerous situation, especially by today's standards, as 40 million babies in America have been killed in the womb. That even before Jesus was conceived in the womb, and I believe that Jesus was conceived in the Virgin Mary, I believe that he was conceived, as the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit, the only one ever, for a good reason, because Jesus had to be free of the sin of Adam, different than the rest of us, so he can be the propitiation. Okay, I gave you a $50 word. It means that he can be a substitute. I don't have to die for my sins. He would die for me. Or he would die for you. So, what does that make me? Some people are going to say, oh, the Patriot pastor is a biblical fundamentalist. He's one of those conservative Christians. Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed to say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And I'm certainly not the only person. Better people than me have certainly believed that through the ages. And I'm sitting here reading the account that I believe is true right from the Bible. It's also interesting about this man Simeon. And Simeon, as we read in verse 25, was a just and devout man, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, you probably know that the word Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah. You know that the name Jesus, which is actually Greek for the name Joshua, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua, which means God is salvation. Well, if we let people tell us that, let's just make this a holiday season, let's say happy holidays, and I go into the post office and they're saying happy holidays, and I said, no, Merry Christmas. We're not going to get co-opted. This isn't about Kwanzaa. And though we may celebrate also Hanukkah at the same time of year, and there is some validity certainly to that celebration of Hanukkah, we cannot allow ourselves to be co-opted in the sense of saying that we're not going to mention Jesus Christ. Because I believe what Scripture says, just like Simeon was saying, that the Lord had told him he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. It doesn't say many Christs. It doesn't say that before he would see all these other Saviors. No, the only way, Jesus. Boy, is that narrow-minded, isn't it? Some people are going to say that that's intolerant. But you see, when you think about what it is that Jesus brings to us, what it is that Jesus is doing, and remember, and I read years ago about Mahatma Gandhi, who said, you know, if it weren't for the Christians, I'd be a Christian myself, because he believed in the teachings of Jesus, and he believed in these things, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And I want to encourage you, even with all the tragic things that we see going on in this world, don't stop believing in peace and goodwill to men. Don't stop believing that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, even though perhaps Christians have stabbed you in the back and perhaps things have happened that haven't been so good to you. Well, welcome to reality. That's happened to me too. But I want you to know that when we think things are too pagan and they're too commercial, well, we can put a stop to that by not participating in that. And so gather your family together, read these scriptures, pray over one another, and help out. And let me take a few suggestions here of things that you could do. How about take the time to be alone and ponder your relationship with Christ? That'd be a good gift for Jesus. How about read the story of Jesus' birth and note how people responded, like Mary, Joseph, the shepherd, Simeon, and Anna? How about praise God at Christmas? Join other Christians in celebrations of music and praise. Help those in need at Christmas time, and I'd suggest throughout the rest of the year, but Christmas time can be a very depressing time for people who don't have families or people that are in trouble and so forth. You can do a good work there. Follow the example of Jesus, whose heart was filled with compassion for those who were suffering. Keep your to-do list as short as possible. Limit your social obligations so there is time for reflection. You know, some people go from party to party to party, and they run from store to store at the last minute, and they get all stressed out, and that can't be the Lord's will. Just can't be. And how about using cash when you buy gifts, if you're going to do that, instead of making some old-fashioned home-created type things? Well, how about using cash when you buy gifts to avoid holiday debt? Invite your relatives to support a mission cause instead of giving you a gift. How about telling others about the Savior? Find opportunities to give a tract or a Bible. Remember, Christ Church around the world, and some of these churches are enduring great hardships, like, for example, Christians, what Christians there are in North Korea and China and places like Somalia and Sudan and places of that nature. How about remembering them and helping them? How about living like Christ in this season and through the rest of the year? How about being compassionate, be forgiving, especially in the mall parking lots and with all those harassed sales staff that are stressed out? How about being sensitive to the people with whom you work and play? And how about being joyful at Christmas? You're celebrating the greatest event in the history of the world, the arrival of God in human form. And if that isn't something to celebrate, then what is? And that the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I can tell you, my personal testimony is that I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I suppose we'd have to say, just like many Americans, we had a very minor acceptance of what church was and Christianity and so forth. But I, from my childhood, seemingly from my birth, had a desire for the truth. I sang in the choir, but later years was confirmed in the church, even though my family wasn't much involved. But I prayed, but I really didn't follow the Lord until I was born again, until I started to realize the Lord had, that Jesus truly was not only Savior historically, but that He wanted to personally deliver me from my sin, heal me of my sins, give me a better life, and give me a hopeful life. And so, if everyone else in America decides they're not going to celebrate the Lord's birth because of whatever reasons, I'm still going to do it. Even if a law was made against it, I'll still do it. And by the way, it's not unconstitutional. The First Amendment, freedom of religion, is freedom to worship Christ. Remember that. I know there's a lot more that I could say in this broadcast, but I particularly just want to get across to you that if you see things in this world that are wrong, and there are so many things that are so wrong, so many that we may never have the opportunity to change, but you know what? Let the changing begin here, in my heart. Let the changing begin in your heart. Jesus Christ is alive and well, and yes, He will return again, as He said He would. That'll be the second advent. We may in this season of the year be celebrating the first advent, something that happened a long time ago, but Jesus was, is, and will be. And so, as we sing this final song tonight, think about what you can do for Jesus, because He's certainly done a lot for you. and he's done a lot for me. And I just want to say, Jesus, whatever day that you were born on, happy birthday, and I am so thankful that you were born, because you have made all the difference in my life. And I trust you, Jesus.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Oh, lie, oh, come, Maluhia, Malama Lama, Kamakuahine, Alohae, Meke Kiki, He Molele, Moi Meka Maluhia Lani. Moi meka maluhia lani. Sleep in heavenly peace.
And you probably didn't recognize that, but that was in Hawaiian language. In Hawaii, they would say melikikamaka. And on behalf of me, Garrett Lear, the Patriot Pastor and the Heroes of Liberty, I want to say Merry Christmas.
And from Annette and the rest of the Lear family, a very Merry Christmas.